The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's Thursday, March 20th, and you know what that means. The first big day of March Madness. Maybe the least productive day of all days in the entire calendar year. Looking forward to my conversation with Howard Herman, the sports reporter from the Berkshire Eagle, who will give us a lowdown on the NCAA tournament starting today. And also we'll look at the ladies basketball as well. And then we're going to talk about maybe some local sports, recap the high school basketball season, looking forward to some spring sports, maybe talk about some Red Sox and MLB in there too. Lots of stuff to talk about when Howard comes on the program. He's joining us by phone today, and we'll talk to him here on the radio and on TV. Of course, we are listening to us on 89.7 WTBR FM and also 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and watching us on Access Pittsfield and on PCTV Select, all kinds of places to watch and listen to this Morning Drive program. Always appreciate you coming along for the ride as well. And let's do that weather forecast that we always do here at the beginning of the program, see what's in store for us today from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy. Highs in the lower 60s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, rain. Lows in the lower 30s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain near 100%. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and snow in the morning, then mostly sunny in the afternoon. Much cooler with highs in the mid-40s. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, it sounds like we had our fake summer there for a moment in time. The last couple days have been nice outside, and we're going to get back to reality here, I think, a little bit with still some snow in the forecast and rain and back down into the 40s. So you know how it goes. We'll get there eventually. We're back into sort of what spring is here in the Berkshires now. All right. Well, once again, welcome to Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. Howard Herman joining us by phone this morning. Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Well, I've been better, actually. I got belted last night with a little coldy, fluey thing, so I am home this morning, not wanting to spread any germs around WTBR.
Well, that's awful considerate of you. We always appreciate that, and so nice of you, no matter whether you're feeling bad or not, to still join us for the program, and we really appreciate that.
Oh, always a pleasure. Glad I could do it.
So, and I was looking forward to this show for a while because I knew when we planned it out that it was going to be the Thursday of March Madness. And we know there's some play-in games, and we'll talk about that. But one of the least productive days for basketball fans out there. And so much basketball happening all in the next couple days, Thursday and Friday, that first round. Always exciting, though, isn't it?
It is. And it's funny because even though we aren't exactly the same age, when we were kids, we didn't have this.
Yeah, we certainly didn't have the 64 teams, did we?
Well, we also didn't have every game on television.
Oh, absolutely. That's true.
It was just on CBS, and you would sit there and look at the bracket and say, oh, I wonder what Channel 6 is going to get. And are they going to get a team that we want to see?
Mm-hmm.
But now, arguably the best sporting business model in television is the CBS-Turner combination for the NCAA tournament. Every game is on. It is like the only 2 weeks a year that you actually know where True TV is. And
that's true.
and it's just great. I just wish that the first four games that were on Tuesday night and Wednesday night were not on True TV.
Yeah, and I didn't pay attention to those. What channels were those actually on?
They were on the True TV channel, which I guess is 71 in Pittsfield.
Okay. Well, there you go, just for interested parties.
Yeah, so, you know, I watched parts of three of the four games. That was a great, it was a classic ending in the Alabama State St. Francis game.
And that was that St. Francis that took that? Is that what I heard?
No, that was Alabama State.
Okay.
With like 3 seconds left, they threw the ball the length of the court, a la Christian Laettner. Mm. It wasn't Christian Laettner good, but the ball bounced around a little bit and landed in the hands of an Alabama State player, and he scored on a layup with about, you know, 5/10 of a second left.
Wow. See, I mean, that's
and
what,
then that... last night's second game, when Xavier beat...
Texas. Mm-hmm.
There are reports circulating today that at the end of the season, whenever it is now, Xavier coach Sean Miller will be going to Texas to replace Rodney Terry, who apparently his time is done.
Hmm. And this is around the time you start to hear things like that, right, as the seasons wind down?
Yep. And the one that's got everybody a little bit up in arms is what happened at Indiana and West Virginia.
Right.
With Darian DeVries, mm-hmm. who leaves West Virginia after 1 year to take over the Indiana program.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently had been talking to Indiana once they decided to make the change from Mike Woodson.
Ah, and they're not supposed to do that, right? Not supposed
no,
to do that.
No, they're not actually supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And then his son... His son, who plays at West Virginia, who came with him from Drake, ended up sitting for much of the second half of the season because of what was perceived as an injury.
Hmm.
And there is speculation out there that maybe, you know, that he just sat so he could play one more year for Dad.
Ah. Interesting. All the palace intrigue, if you will, right? All the stuff going on behind the scenes. And I guess West Virginia was also wrapped up in a bit of a controversy of not making it to the tournament, right? And what's up with that?
It depends on your definition of controversy.
Yeah.
It was a controversy because the governor of West Virginia decided to stick his nose where it doesn't belong.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. When it makes the news instead of the sports page, right, that's when you know something else is going on there. So what was the beef? West Virginia just didn't like not being included and went nuclear?
That's pretty much it.
Hmm.
They just didn't, you know, they wanted to be in.
Yeah. Who doesn't, though?
This is true.
But it seems like it's just escalated, right? Like, why would you do that? You know, just move along and get to the next year and deal with it. I don't know.
Yeah, and then, as it turns out, then the coach leaves anyway, so there you are.
Right. So, and, you know, my team, Syracuse, has been on that end of it as well. They're not anywhere near this tournament this year and may not be for many years to come. You just have to sort of get used to that in some ways. And that's a prime program for so many years. But without Jim Boeheim and without that motivation, it's all kind of evaporated for the Orange.
It has, but it has little to do with Jim Boeheim. It has little to do with anything except dollars.
Well, I mean, that's a...
If you are playing in a Power Four league,
right,
you better have NIL money,
right,
to pay your players.
Yep.
At least
a plan to figure that out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Alex Klein, who is the general manager of the Syracuse basketball program, is doing.
Hmm.
Former NBA scout, and as a high school kid, he was involved in scouting, you know, future recruits. Did it like as a 15, 16-year-old.
Hmm.
I have never interviewed him, but we used to talk on the online all the time. But, you know, he's got to do something. He's got to get them, you know, to get better players.
Yeah, going to have to turn the ship around there, I think. That's going to be a long process. Of course, a lot of controversy about the head coach also, Autry. We'll see. He's going to stick around for one more year, it sounds like, but they're putting him on a short leash, it seems like.
It seems like they are, and I would argue that he can't do it without money.
Right.
If they don't have enough NIL money, what Syracuse was 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, it was a powerhouse program.
National champion in 03. Yep.
It was a, you know, it was, you know, one of the gold standards.
Yep.
You can't live on the past anymore.
Yeah, it's a new world.
You have to be in the new world.
Yeah.
And you have to get money, and you have to be able to you know, encourage players to come.
Yep, and that will not happen overnight for sure. It's a whole culture change, isn't it? And a lot of teams have figured that out.
It's funny, you know, if somebody dropped like a big check, they could turn it around next year.
Well, we'll see.
Convinced of that.
We'll see if those big checks are coming to Central New York.
I just don't know if there's anybody spending that kind of money.
Yeah, and it can be kind of a hard lift in some ways. You know, there's other things that attract players to schools. You know, Central New York is can be a difficult sell sometimes. But if you've got a great program, great coaches, you know, great things, it might work. Who knows? But I know a lot of teams are probably dealing with that same question as well.
Oh, so many are dealing with that question. Mm. And so many of the so-called power teams. I mean, if you look at teams in the ACC,
mm-hmm.
for example, other than like Duke, North Carolina, and maybe Clemson,
yeah,
everybody else is struggling the same way, trying to put the money together to, you know, to buy players.
Yeah, and yet somehow the SEC seems to be doing just fine this year and having a huge percentage of the number of teams, right, that made it to the dance.
Yes, but let us asterisk that and suggest to you that the SEC also is, by leaps and bounds, the largest conference in America.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of why they are able to get so many teams in, because they have so many teams, because they have so many more teams,
right,
than anybody else.
And the money is flowing there, certainly, too, right? That doesn't hurt.
No, it does not.
Howard Herman is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, joining us by telephone this morning. And we are live and local here in the studio on this end. And it sounds like Howard is live and local in his end.
Are we late breaking, though?
Are we? We may or may not be late breaking. We'll put an asterisk on that. We are going through the March Madness NCAA tournament here. We'll go with the men's bracket first, and let's just look at what we've got.
We start at 12:15 this afternoon.
Yeah.
With Creighton and Louisville playing in Lexington.
Creighton and Louisville, and they're
playing in Lexington.
In Lexington. So let's see, what part of the bracket are we on? Now, I admittedly have not paid that much attention to this, so you're going to walk me through this today.
These are the legitimate first-round games.
Okay.
We just finished the first four, where Alabama State, Xavier, Mount St. Mary's, and North Carolina all advanced.
Right.
So now we are in the legitimate first round of the tournament. The first round that is of the most interest, the first and second round games,
mm-hmm.
happening in Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay.
Where
that's in the West regional bracket, strangely enough.
Different regions.
Yes.
You've got at 12:40 this afternoon, High Point and Purdue.
Okay.
And then at 3:15, McNeese State and Clemson. McNeese State's another one of those funky schools. Excuse me, where Will Wade, their coach, is leaving as soon as the tournament's over to go to North Carolina State.
Huh. Interesting.
But unlike many people, he had told his players and kept them in the loop. So maybe that's better. I don't know. Then
so McNeese is a 27-6 team, and they're a 12 seed. Clemson coming in at a 5 seed. So those 12-5, sometimes you get some upsets there.
You do, and McNeese has a guard named Javon Garcia, who played for UMass.
Okay.
And elected to go get bank. But getting back to the Providence region, at 7 o'clock, you have Arkansas and Kansas.
And then
at 9:45, you have Omaha and St. John's.
Okay, so those are both showing up in my West regional bracket, right?
Yeah, you have the number 2 seed, St. John's. What makes this one so much fun is if Arkansas and St. John's wins, they would play each other in the second round.
And that's a coach battle, right?
That's a John Calipari, Rick Pitino battle.
Right. Yeah, that'll be fun to watch.
It's like the old days. It's like the 1996 Final Four.
Yeah.
When they met in the Meadowlands.
Well, Arkansas getting past Kansas is no cakewalk either, though, right?
Oh no, Kansas is very good.
Yeah.
And if you're watching those games, and the night games are both on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
The day games out of Providence are both on True TV.
Yep, and that's where you have to really jump around a lot. True TV, is it TBS, TNT, and CBS? Is that the four stations?
That would be correct, my guy. Yeah. And, keep some double A's, next to your couch.
To refresh your remote control.
Absolutely. And as I wrote last week about him, the Providence Regional the broadcasters there are former UMass coach Steve Lapis, along with former Channel 13 sportscaster Andrew Catalan. So we'll get to hear Steve, who's become a really good analyst, and Andrew is considered one of the better young play-by-play guys.
Yeah,
we
certainly.
We were talking the other day, and I always remember they weren't married then, but he married former Channel 13 anchor Jessica Layton.
Correct.
Her first job with Channel 13 was in the Pittsfield Bureau when they had a Pittsfield Bureau. And their Pittsfield Bureau was, I think, on the fifth floor of our building.
And I believe Jessica Layton is now working for MSNBC, right? So it's a kind of
she is
power
a freelancer.
Couple there. Yeah.
She is a freelancer for MSNBC and NBC News.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely nice to see Andrew Catalan, a voice that a lot of people recognize from watching Channel 13's news, make it all the way up in somewhere in the middle rankings now of the CBS football coverage, too. So, obviously, and I think, hasn't he done some Masters coverage as well?
Yeah, he is Jim Nance's backup on golf.
That's not bad. Not a bad place to be.
No, he's done good. The other guy you get to watch tonight on True TV.
Mm-hmm.
From Wichita will be the broadcast crew of my friend Tom McCarthy with Deb Antonelli and Steve Smith, the former Michigan State star. Tom McCarthy is the voice of the Philadelphia Phillies.
There you go.
Guy I've known for a long time. Also a football guy on CBS.
Well, this time of the year, you got to have all hands on deck, right? For sure. This
all
is the season
on,
where you...
all hands on deck and then some. I mean, we won't even see CBS's number one crew of Ian Eagle, Bill Raftery, and Grant Hill until Friday. They're in Raleigh, and they will have Baylor, Mississippi State, and Mount St. Mary's and Duke. And then at night, they will do Norfolk State, Florida, and Oklahoma, UConn. And those games, the afternoon games are on CBS, the night games are on TNT.
So they're in Raleigh, I see, yep.
Yes.
And UConn has also been a story this year, right? Because they're repeating national champions. They were hoping to make it a little higher up. They didn't perform quite that well this year, come in at number 8 seed this year.
Yeah, they were not nearly as good as people had hoped, and they will get it going this weekend. Mm-hmm. And and we'll see how that all works out.
Yep. Like you said, but playing Oklahoma, they're that's an 8-9. 8-9
yeah,
is a good...
Yeah, they're a talented team.
Yeah.
They're a talented team. Danny Hurley's an excellent coach. Bit of a crazy man sometimes on the sidelines.
Yep.
And, of course, you know who his associate head coach is.
No. Who's that?
One Luke Murray.
Okay.
Who happens to be the son of Bill Murray.
No kidding.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes, and I remember it was last year when the women's tournament was in Albany. The year before, the men's first and second round was there, and UConn was there.
Hmm.
And I never bothered him, but you saw Bill Murray every day.
And that's an unpredictable thing with Bill Murray. You never know when and where he's going to show up, from what I understand.
Yeah, but he does tend to show up when his kid's coaching.
There you go. Well, a little more predictability.
So, you know, yes, and and Luke apparently is one of the next guys.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, he'll be a head coach sooner rather than later.
Hey, you mentioned Rick Pitino there before. That's quite the story, isn't it? Rick Pitino just keeps on chugging along. Every team he makes it to, somehow he turns around. He makes them, an important team, someone to watch for. Nice to see St. John's back in the mix after the old Big East days, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you credit most of that to Rick Pitino, you think, this time around?
I do not.
No?
Rick Pitino is a terrific coach. I credit this more to Mike Riepel, who is the founder of Vitamin Water.
Huh.
He's a billionaire.
Okay.
He writes them checks.
Ah. Was he an alum?
Yeah.
Ah.
I don't know if he was. I do not know if he was an alum. Or as I look,
So it's not necessarily as organic as it sounds. Get a good coach and turn your program
around.
Well,
it's very organic because if it's somebody else, even with that money, they might. Now he is a St. John's graduate. Graduated in 1991.
All right, there you go.
But if there is a lesser coach, even with all that money, it doesn't happen.
Hmm.
Pitino is one of the best coaches of all time.
Yep.
In college basketball, he was a great NBA coach.
Right.
People seem to forget because his tenure with Boston ended badly.
Right.
It wasn't Rick Pitino, the basketball coach, whose tenure ended badly in Boston.
Hmm.
It was Rick Pitino, the president and general manager of the Celtics, whose tenure ended badly.
Okay.
He made a bunch of really, really bad, trade decisions and signing decisions.
That was during the long Celtics drought, right?
Yeah, and if there'd been a quality GM there, Rick might still be with the Celtics, in my opinion.
Interesting. But they've moved along, and Celtics have done okay, too. So I guess that maybe was a good thing that Rick Pitino moved on and did pretty well for himself in the last couple of jobs he's had.
Yeah, and it's been a couple of coaches between Pitino and Joe Mazzulla.
Mm.
But, yeah, they're one of the best, programs in the NBA.
Right. So, Howard, let's go on and talk about the four number ones here in the brackets and sort of their story. So you see Auburn at the top of the South region. You got Florida at 30-4 at the top of the West. Over the overall number one, right, being Duke in the East regional, 31-3 this year, just unbeatable. And then Houston at 30-4 being the number one in the Midwest. What are some of the stories among those teams?
I thought Auburn was the overall number one.
Were they?
I could be wrong.
No, I could be wrong.
But what's interesting is both one seeds on that side of the bracket, Bruce Pearl and Todd Golden, share a religion.
Hmm.
They are two of the rare Division I coaches who are Jewish.
Okay.
On the other side, you've got. Actually, three of the four coaches are, because John Shire, the Duke coach, is as well. So as I joked with somebody once online, I said, all they need is seven more coaches for a minion. But the key is going to be with Duke. If Cooper Flagg is healthy.
Okay.
I would not play him in the Mount St. Mary's game. They do not need him.
Yeah, give him another rest.
Yeah, they will certainly need him to play either Mississippi State or Baylor.
Yep.
But I would give him a rest.
Well, if you're Duke, you've probably got a lot of options, right? Some other teams aren't going to have that kind of a deep bench. Duke's probably got a few options.
Yep. And it's interesting, the Auburn-Alabama State game is a neighborhood game.
Ah, yes.
Because Alabama State is located in Montgomery, which I believe is like 40 minutes from Auburn.
Oh, wow. And they're playing
in
Lexington.
And the Alabama State coach has said, you know, he knows all the people there. They play, his kids played, you know, youth basketball at Auburn and the whole thing. That's going to be, that should be a real easy game. And then Auburn jumps out of the frying pan into the fire with an 8-9 game, either Louisville or Creighton. Creighton I really like. They play a different style of basketball.
Yeah.
Louisville plays, you know, real high pressure, in-your-face defense, and likes to get out and run. Pat Kelsey is the coach there, and some of you might remember when he was hired to be the coach at UMass and bailed on the press conference.
When was that?
This was the same, it's now 7-8 years ago. When they hired, when they ended up hiring Matt McCall. You know, they had a memorandum of agreement. He came up, apparently, from what I was told from people, you know, the family never came to Amherst. And they said, you know, we can't live here.
Oh, wow.
So he went back to the College of Charleston, or went to Winthrop, then to the College of Charleston. Now he's at Louisville, and and they're a legitimate. They can get to the regional final.
Okay, interesting. So maybe a number 9 or a number 8 we'll see move forward. That would be interesting there. But of course, you got to get past Auburn to do that.
Not going to be easy. And they're so good.
Yeah.
Bruce Pearl, Boston guy, didn't play college basketball. Was like a student manager at BC. Worked his way up the Division II rankings. He was the head coach at Southern Indiana when they won the Division II national title in Springfield maybe 20 years ago.
Wow.
Really good coach.
So then moving on to Florida, they've had a pretty decent year as well. Don't always think of Florida as a big basketball team, certainly not in the last decade or so, but here we are.
Well, no, but we all remember, of course, when they went back-to-back.
Sure.
National. We all remember, you know, Billy Donovan coached there, another guy off the Patino tree. Joakim Noah was on that team. And then the year after they went back-to-back, they lost to UMass in the NIT semifinals in New York. And that was Travis Ford's last year. At UMass, but they're very good. They're very long.
Okay.
And I think at this stage of the season, if you're long, you have advantages.
And so they're playing Norfolk State in the first round. Doesn't look to be too difficult for Florida, but then they would come on and meet potentially either UConn or Oklahoma.
Which is an interesting matchup in this because Porter Moser, the Oklahoma coach, is being rumored as a candidate at Villanova to replace Kyle Neptune, who was unceremoniously dumped. And you might as well, if he coaches this game, he might as well get used to playing UConn because they'll play each other twice a year in the Big East.
Wow, yeah. And then the last number one seed to talk about, Houston. What's their season been like?
They have been really good all season. I think Kelvin Sampson has, for the last 3-4 years, been as good a coach as anyone in the country. Really outstanding. he's one of those guys, the old cliche, he can beat you with his and beat you with yours. you know, they're really well coached. They look like they're going to have a pretty easy run into the Sweet 16 with SIU Edwardsville first, and then the winner of Gonzaga, Georgia.
Yep.
Georgia's been, you know, Georgia's just one of those teams that probably shouldn't be in the tournament, but because it's the SEC, you know, they get all those teams.
Gonzaga's had
eight. Which is why, you know, and you look, but you look at these brackets, Sean.
Yeah.
And you say, we can barely fill them as they are.
Hmm.
We don't need to expand the tournament.
I agree with you there. I don't see why expanding the tournament does anything for anyone. That's my opinion. I like it the way it is. What do you think?
I agree. I think, I also think,
Why mess up a good thing, I think, is what I'm saying.
I have also gone back and forth on this about conference champions playing in the first four. Because conference champions did their job.
Yep.
They won their league.
Right.
The four at-large teams that played in Dayton this week were the last four teams in the tournament.
Yep.
But then I also think about, you know, it may only have been Dayton, but Alabama State and Mount St. Mary's and, you know, Xavier and North Carolina all won.
Yep.
So they all get a chance to win.
Right. Well, it's interesting in those first four games, you've got two 16s against 16s, and then you got a number 11 seeds against 11 seeds, and you got some pretty good teams in the 11s there, the North Carolina versus San Diego State.
The 11 should not be in the tournament. But my feeling is the 11 should not be there.
Yeah.
Because the 11s didn't do their job.
Hmm.
They did not win.
Mm-hmm.
They did not win enough.
Hmm.
They are in because, you know, because Texas is an SEC team and North Carolina is, you know, is an ACC blue blood.
Yeah, definitely on the bubble there, right? 19-15 for Texas. North Carolina, 22-13. So that's a lot of losses.
It's not even, it's that, and it's also, I believe, that in the so-called quad one, which are the best wins and losses, North Carolina was like 1-12.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, but they're in, they won a game, you know, they'll get to play somebody else.
Yep.
And
they got a chance.
That's the one thing, you know, they definitely got a chance.
Like Jim Carrey always said, you're telling me there's a chance. Howard Herman is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. We are going to take that top of the hour break, and Howard will come back in the second half of the show and give us a couple ideas on who he thinks might be the Cinderellas of the tournament that starts today at 12:15 p.m. And then maybe also talk about your final four and who you'll like at the end. We'll hold that till the second half of the show here, Howard. We'll be right back on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Welcome to Beyond, a one-hour program of science fiction, fantasy, and adventure. I'll be your host, Beverly Prentice. Listen in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. My email is beyond3x5@gmail.com.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR.
And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM. Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back here on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. Howard Herman is my guest this morning, sports reporter for the Berkshire Eagle, and we're going over the March Madness brackets. We'll get to the women's tournament as well in just a moment. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today and into tonight, maybe tomorrow. Here we go.
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy. Highs in the lower 60s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, rain. Lows in the lower 30s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain near 100%. Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and snow in the morning, then mostly sunny in the afternoon. Much cooler with highs in the mid-40s. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Back into the 40s, some rain, some snow, back to spring as we know it here in the Berkshires. Thanks again for joining us on Morning Drive. Howard Herman, thank you again for joining us under less than optimal circumstances. We appreciate you coming in by phone and talking about March Madness with us today.
By the way, I just wanted you to think about it, since you're a Syracuse alum.
Yes.
Arguably the most crushing loss in Syracuse basketball history took place 20 years ago this weekend.
We going to the Richmond Spiders? Is that where we're going?
No. Okay. We're going to TJ Sorrentine and the Vermont Catamounts.
Oh, even worse. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. Much appreciated.
Yes, I was at that game. It was in Worcester.
Yep. I think.
And it was.
Yeah, go ahead.
Something. It was like one. You know, I think it's the biggest shock. I think it's a far bigger shocker in a sense than when UMBC beat Virginia.
Yeah.
Because in that game, UMBC pretty much had its way the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And this took a 3-pointer at the buzzer.
Well, these things happen, right? I still say the most devastating one for me was definitely 1987, Howard. It has to be the Indiana game in the Final Four, in the final game. That was a killer, just a killer. But, you know, that's ancient history now.
Which leads me to a question. You're a fan of a big-time basketball program.
Sure.
If you get to the Final Four, is it a good year?
I mean, I think so. It's a memorable year. It's a fun year, no matter what. You know, especially if you had no business getting there. That's even more fun. But if you were expected to get there and then you performed less than admirably, I think that's difficult. That's all. But 87 was just a lot of high hopes that year, and to have it fall down in a crushing manner was very difficult. But we managed to come back in 03, and that's all that matters, right? So give me
and they cannot take that away from you.
Cannot, I don't think. They may try though. Let's talk about this year's Cinderellas. Who do you like that might come out of the shadows and surprise everybody this year in the men's tournament?
You know, I don't think there are any Cinderellas anymore.
No,
I really don't. I think because of all the NIL money. And guys don't stay. It's hard for those.
And we'd have to define a Cinderella team as one that just, A, they might upset a team that they weren't supposed to beat, and then maybe they win one or two more games, right? Get into the Sweet 16, maybe get into the final eight games there, right? And that would qualify as a Cinderella, even if you don't go all the way to the final four?
I think so. I think if you're looking for a real, if you're looking for a Cinderella, look at Liberty in the East Regional.
Okay,
they open against Oregon, and then they would play the winner of Arizona Akron. And they're physical, they're high paced. I know some of the coaches on their staff, and they're very and they can win a couple of games in the tournament.
Yep. So keep an eye out for Liberty then. That's what Howard tells you for Cinderellas. We'll see how that all plays out. And then, of course, we're looking for maybe your Final Four. Are you looking for all chalk, or are you going for something a little offbeat this year for those last four teams?
You know, the funny thing is I have no idea. I am maybe the only American who does not fill out a bracket.
Yeah.
I stopped doing it like about 10, 11 years ago, accidentally, I was getting ready to go out of town for work. And I was busily, you know, arranging hotels, rental cars, the whole thing, and forgot. And realized how much fun it was to just watch, because I root for the chaos.
To see it play out.
I root for the chaos. I like to see, you know, double-digit seeds knock off favorites.
Yeah. Or maybe
I love that
Ivy League school coming through and beating a couple teams,
exactly,
right? Something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Keep an eye on Yale. They're very good.
Yep.
James Jones, outstanding coach. A lot of talent on that team. But the idea that, you know, I love it when, like, 15s beat 2s.
Yeah, well.
I would hate it if I was filling out my bracket.
I'll bet, yeah. Yeah, that knocks a lot of people right out right away, right?
And if I'm going to do that, I want to win.
Right.
So I have more fun this way.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to go later on when they play each other. I'm going to want, you know, I'm going to root for Bryant against Michigan State. A 2:15 game.
Wow, yeah.
Or Alabama and Robert Morris, another 2:15 game. But I'm not sure I would want to pick them.
Right.
But root like crazy for them to pull upsets.
Yep. And so do you think that there's a likelihood, let's say, that a Duke makes its way to the Final Four, though? I mean, that seems pretty like a pretty good chance, right?
It feels pretty chalky this year, Sean. I think with the way college basketball has changed...
Yeah, that's made all the difference,
guys,
hasn't it?
Yeah, they don't stay 4 years anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're kind of rebuilding your team on the fly every year.
Yeah.
So it's harder for some of those teams that, you know, might be a little bit more Cinderella-ish to knock off some of the big boys.
Well, maybe you'll get a little bit more parity that way too, right? Maybe you'll get some more... upside to that is, you know, some surprises and maybe not to see the same names every single year at the top of the brackets.
You know, it's funny. I think it's going to end up being the opposite.
You think so? You think it'll just concentrate all the best players at the top?
Because the big schools have the most NIL money and can get the best players.
Yeah.
And can get the best players from a lot of mid-majors.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if the players are going to come from mid-majors or if they're going to come from other major teams with players that just want more playing time. Be treated a little nicer.
Or more money.
Or more money.
You know, I think I think so much of it is, you know, is banked now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's definitely a different world. And that actually skews the power structure from the coach to the players too, right? That's kind of turning it on its head from years and years of experience of having a power coach, you know, someone who he or she was always the highest paid person, you know, a lot of times the basketball coach is the highest paid person in the whole state.
if he's not, then certainly the football coach.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, but that's that is changing a little bit. Let's. Howard Herman's my guest here on Morning Drive this morning, joining us by telephone, sports reporter for the Berkshire Eagle. We've been talking about the men's March Madness, which is starting today, 12:15 p.m. Get your remotes ready. Lots of basketball to watch. Lots of excitement, I'm sure, as it always is. Let's move over to the women's tournament just briefly here because, things have – that's an exciting time now, and I'm looking at the bracket. I'm even less knowledgeable. If I could be less knowledgeable about anything, I'm even less knowledgeable about the women's side. But let's talk about the top ones there. You got UCLA as a number one seed. You got South Carolina, Texas, and Southern California, USC. Those are your top four.
Two Big Ten teams and two SEC teams.
Yeah.
Because UCLA and USC are now in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And they will both play in the Spokane Super Regions. And South Carolina and Texas will play in the Birmingham Super Regions. It's something the NCAA started the last year or two, where they play most of their big regionals together, which was why Albany last year was such a thrill.
Right, yeah.
Because you not only had, you know, you had eight teams there and multiple superstars.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark,
right.
Angel Reese,
yep.
You know, Kim Mulkey,
sure.
Corey Close from the coach from UCLA. All these great people and great players and great coaches.
Yep.
And they do that again. I think the team you really want to keep an eye out for is obviously Connecticut.
Yeah, number two seed Connecticut down in the what would that be, the Spokane Super Region. So number two.
Yes.
So they're on the same side of the bracket with USC. So UConn
they
there,
are.
Yep. And then the other number twos I'm looking at are NC State. We've got Duke, and we've got Texas Christian. Those are your number twos in the women's side.
Yeah, and I wouldn't, you know, and you would think that it would be a chalk tournament, even more so than the men.
Mm.
But I think there are a bunch of two seeds in this field. You know, you talk about. You talk about UConn, you talk about TCU, and Duke, you know, and all of them are capable of winning.
Yep.
The whole thing.
Yep, so that'll be exciting too. So that's going on simultaneously. It famously finishes up, I believe, somewhere around that Final Four in early April, right? The women's tournament ends up being on the Sunday between the men's Saturday Final Four and Monday playoff, right?
Yes, and I do believe this year, I could be wrong, but I think this year the championship game will actually be on ABC, not just on ESPN, which is something that the women's coaches and players and administrators have been wanting for several years because obviously the sport is growing by leaps and bounds on the women's side. And I still would like to see, you know, like to see some, you know, regionals not played on home courts.
Mm-hmm.
Like UConn will play Arkansas State in stores.
Yeah, I see that.
And then with Oklahoma. But part of it is because the early rounds don't draw in neutral sites, at least that's what has always been, you know, the theory.
Okay. Yep.
So they do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I see the same thing over on the other side. Texas Christian playing at Fort Worth, Texas, for example, and Duke playing in Durham, North Carolina.
So yeah, Duke, they're not just playing in Durham and playing in Fort Worth. They're playing on their
court. On their own courts, NC State playing in Raleigh. So,
which is where they are.
Yeah, so, UCLA playing in Los Angeles. So, yeah, Columbia, South Carolina gets South Carolina. So I see where that's going. And it makes sense, I guess, if you're trying to maximize the number of folks in the seats, right? That makes sense. And you want it to be exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we're getting closer to a time where we will have neutral sites for those first and second round games.
Yeah.
It may not happen in the next year or two, but I would think that within the next 5 to 10 years, it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, it's a growing sport, a growing interest in it. A lot of excitement last year. We'll see if that also plays out again. You get some good teams, good coaches, some star players, someone who can make a difference. And suddenly you got a lot of eyeballs on it and a lot of interest in it. So I think that is definitely a growing thing and good for the sport. All right.
Completely understand. I love to watch them play. The tournament is exciting. Sometimes it's better than the men's, depending on who's in it, their tournament. Like the games last year in Albany were just off the charts and thrilling.
No, I think you can make an argument. Last year was all about the women's tournament. The spotlight was there, and that's great. Let's move on in the little bit of time we have left here in staying in basketball, going more local here with our high school teams have finished up their seasons, are all done, and spring sports are on their way. But there was an announcement that there's a sort of a new reorganization on the horizon for next year, right? Where the Berkshire County teams will have more games to play amongst themselves through the Pioneer Valley Association. How's that working, and what do you think of that?
Well, I don't know how it's going to work yet.
Mm.
I mean, and it may not happen. Mm. Somebody may throw a monkey wrench into the operation and will change again.
Mm.
Because it's not official yet.
Okay.
But the idea of a bunch of teams not having to get on the bus and drive in an hour and a half for a regular season high school game is a good thing.
Right. Yep.
Many of us remember what it used to be like when it was just, a regular Berkshire County league.
Right.
Everybody played everybody else.
Yeah. And it's still not quite going to be that. It's going to be the stronger teams sort of playing each other, right, to make more competitive matches. And then some of the other folks will be playing themselves and maybe some other teams as well. So there'll still be some sort of out-of-county games that you'll have to go to, but maybe not quite as many if this plays out the way they're talking about?
Certainly not quite as many.
Hmm.
I think ultimately I know that coaches – that boys coaches around here have been wanting this for a few years.
Mm.
And it seems like I think it's just an approval vote away from the PVIAC board to approve this when they change every couple of years. Because what people don't, they do change leagues, adjust, setups every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a 2-year setup. And it could get renewed, or they could change it.
Yeah. But they're basically going to try it out, see how it works out for those 2 years, and play it by ear there and see how it works out.
Financially, it's a good thing for the schools because that means they don't have to drive quite as often on school buses and, and all that.
Yeah. Well, and that's a real thing, too. When you're talking about getting kids to a game, I mean, we've seen, as we've tried to cover them, some of the teams from much further away, maybe an hour and a half or more distance on the bus, they're not showing up in time to really get a good practice, to warm-ups and they're just sort of, shotgunning it right in there. And it probably makes for a very difficult way to play a basketball game either way, coming here or going there.
Any sport.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to have a proper warm-up.
Yep.
I think that, that this will help with that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so we'll see how that plays out. And that's for basketball specifically, and the teams for the boys and the girls are different alignments. Is that what they're planning on doing?
That's what they're planning on doing. Mm. I believe a couple of the girls' teams didn't want to get involved, wanted to stay in the league they were in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that could all change because, as our story, you know, mentioned, this is the plan. It's not official yet.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So stay tuned, as they say, to that news. Anyone who's a big fan of high school basketball here will want to really pay attention to what's going on with that for the next year. Again, Howard Herman, my guest here by phone this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, also an 88.1 in Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge. You can hear us down there just fine, and glad to have you along for the program this morning. Howard,
and let me before we go any further, pass along kudos to PCTV and WTBR for the job they did doing high school sports this winter, especially the basketball games in the Final Four when you could no longer do TV.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was an honor to be able to do that.
Of course, the best thing that I got out of the whole thing was when the Pittsfield girls lost to St. Mary's of Lynn. The St. Mary's coach gave Pittsfield Community Television a full shout-out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that was a backhanded compliment or not, but I guess we'll take it one way or the other, right?
That means he's watching.
He's watching. Lots of people are watching. And like we said, we take no responsibility for the misuse of our coverage. If it means that other teams are looking at it and watching tape, you know, that happens no matter what. But, yeah, it was kind of a nice show. I'll take it as a nice shout-out from the coach saying that they watched a lot of PCTV. Well, thank you for that.
Yes, and it's not like sometimes he'd say we saw a lot of cable television.
No.
He specifically said,
that's right.
Pittsfield Community Television.
Well, that's all branding, so we're doing something right, Howard. And of course,
so there you go. That, you need to get him to come out here and do a public service announcement for you.
Yeah, we may have to do that. That's right. And obviously, kudos goes out to Bob Heck, who championed the coverage for us this year, did a great job with all the play-by-play. He became that person in your ear, whether it was on TV or radio, bringing you all those games this year. And Jeff Fuselio, who coordinated all of our sports coverage and continues to, does a great job. So thank you for that, Howard. We appreciate that.
I just thought it was great.
Yeah, and we'll just throw it as a quick couple of minutes on baseball. As you know, anytime the Super Bowl ends, everyone says, okay, so when do pitchers and catchers report? That's always the first thing that people always ask. But now we're deep into spring training, and we're starting to get an idea of what these teams are going to start looking like. In fact, don't we even have a regular season game that's either being close to being played or already been played in Japan?
Yes, they are playing right now.
Yeah.
Not right now as in as we talk.
Yeah.
But they have been but the Cubs and the Dodgers have been over there playing a series of a couple of games that count.
Yeah. That's different, right? I don't think that's happened before.
I think it has.
Has it?
I think some teams have gone over there before.
Hmm.
But I think, you know, but the season actually starts end of March, beginning of April. The Red Sox home opener is early April against the St. Louis Cardinals, and hopefully the weather will break.
Well, that's a classic, the Red Sox and Cardinals. You got to love that for an opening day.
Yeah, now if we could just get, you know, Carl Yastrzemski and Bob Gibson out there, you know, working, you know, it would be great.
Right. What do you think of the Red Sox team this year? Do they do anything of note in the off season? Do they have any good hot stove trades? What do you think?
They did a lot in the off season. It remains to be seen. You know, that's the one thing about baseball. You know, it's every day. It's 162 games. You never know. You know, guys get hurt. Guys get, you know, guys go into slumps.
Yeah.
But they made some pitching moves that we like, that I think fans like. But the one move, I guess, that happened yesterday that's driving Red Sox fans crazy is that Vaughn Grissom was sent down to Triple A Worcester.
Oh, interesting.
Vaughn Grissom was the feature guy in the trade with Atlanta for Chris Sale.
Ah, right. So you want to get something for that. Howard Herman, I got to say thank you. We're running out of time here. What a great conversation. We thank you so much for getting on the phone and getting through that cold of yours. I hope you feel better. And
Hopefully it'll be gone the next time you invite me.
That would be nice.
I can come over.
We'll do that for sure. All right, everybody. Thanks to Howard Herman for being on the show, and thank you for listening today. We'll be back again tomorrow for another Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. Have a great day, everybody.